This is not the television show ER.
No.
We've got very little drama
this
here.
This is Scrubs. What? Get out of my head.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name is Dustin.
My name is Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 133. We are all men.
True.
We are all gamers.
Mm-hmm. True.
And we are all married to beautiful women.
Mm-hmm.
True.
What if Kenny was like, my question for you at the top of this episode is, what is your wife's favorite video game to play? Okay, so specifically to play. I want to be specific here. All of ours have spent hours watching us or quote unquote playing along with us, which simply means, you know, sitting beside us while we play. Mm-hmm. But specifically here, what video game was your wife's favorite to actually play? I'll include any console, PC, arcade, phone even. So we're being liberal here. Wow. What is your wife's favorite video game to play?
Easy. Donkey Kong Country 2.
Dang. She's a better gamer than you are.
That's also a really good like pick.
Yeah.
Like she plays it?
Yeah.
Or has played it?
Has played it.
Yeah.
It was one of those like childhoods that was classic. And now if she gets the chance, she loves to, but doesn't like pull it out just for fun.
It's great.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Yeah. Nolan, can you think?
Yeah, Hannah's is Animal Crossing, specifically New Leaf for the 3DS.
Didn't she play hardcore for a little bit?
We both got the game at the same time, and of course I was into it also. I thought it was amazing, but yeah, she blew me out of the water. She progressed faster than me. She got farther than me, and she like took it seriously. She was stressing about her farm in real life.
I remember, you know, when you don't go back to it for a while, your character's hair is messed up or something, or
yeah, you get bedhead or your hair gets messed up and you get debris like all over your town. And she still will bring it up from time to time. She's like, my farm's doing bad.
I remember how much she hated that. Yeah, it's so bad. My wife has herself played a few video games in her lifetime. So like she probably out of all three of our wives, she's the bigger gamer, I would probably say.
Oh yeah, easily.
But here's the thing. She goes in seasons. So for a season, she'll play, and she's got no boundaries here. She either goes all in or not at all. So she'll go a year without playing a game, but then she'll find a game that she actually enjoys, and then I'm serious, in a month we'll spend over 100 hours on that game. like I fall asleep and she's gets in bed sometime later, 1:32 maybe, on certain nights. But she's gone through like Sims, and Fallout Shelter was huge. Currently it's Stardew Valley. She's got about, I mean, she started like 2 or 3 weeks ago. She's got, we're getting close to 200 hours, but I think she's starting to filter out. But none of them top her time spent and enjoyment of our retro game of the week, Theme Hospital.
Overview.
So Theme Hospital is a business simulation game released for the PC in 1997 and the PlayStation just a year later. It was developed by Bullfrog Productions and published by EA. Before we jump into this, EA isn't that the one that is often just hated on?
Yes, Electronic Arts. This was back in the day, though.
For a while too.
Right, and that's my question. They weren't always hated on, right? Like they did. They used to do things right.
Yeah, like their big thing used to be sports games. Like that was probably maybe their primary focus. But yeah, they didn't take on that negative stigma until more recent and the weird stuff that they've been adding to games and stuff like that.
Well, EA was the publisher for Theme Hospital, and no, Theme Hospital was not a sporting game. It's a unique genre. It really is. We talked about this in Discord a little bit this week, but this kind of like business simulation game started relatively early in video gaming. So thinking 1973 Lemonade Stand, if it wasn't the first, it was one of the first. And there's various versions that you can play even in browser of Lemonade Stand. A few of our viewers played it at one time or another. But then other kind of business simulation games came out. You may be familiar with some of the others like SimFarm of the SimCity collection, Theme Park of this theme collection, or even Roller Coaster Tycoon was another big one, where in these games, the player focuses on micromanaging a business from this like godlike perspective, like overview of the map that you are filling in with whatever your business is in an effort to ultimately in an effort to make money in all of these.
Right. And it's got like RTS vibes to it in the way that it forms the goal there. You like it's a real time kind of process.
Expand on that just a little bit more. I'd like to know your thinking there.
Yeah. So RTS games, you are building and you are progressing, but the clock is ticking. And this one's not quite like that, but you do have to multitask. So like that's a heavy, heavy part of this gameplay and of RTS. So I got a lot of that kind of feel from Theme Hospital this week.
Yeah, I absolutely did too, Nolan. It doesn't surprise me that you say that at all. I feel like enough so that I would have, I don't know, like it adds to the stress and the like action and kind of the feeling and the emotion of like managing this living active thing. But especially as you're learning the game, it also just adds to the complexity and the intensity, and new things happen, but then more new things continue to happen. And it could be a little bit more overwhelming. I think this game would have been more, I think I would have responded to it better if I could have turned time off altogether and go kind of turn-based.
Interesting. This is not a game where you can turn the time off. In fact, there's not even a pause function. You can adjust the speed multiple settings and go very, very slow, but you can't ultimately bring the game to a halt. It's always moving forward. Just like you guys mentioned, it's so much multitasking, so much micromanaging. Along with the theme, you are managing this hospital. And so you're bringing in the right rooms and facilities. You are bringing in the right people to staff those rooms. And as various patients come in, you're taking care of all of their ailments and illnesses in a timely fashion so that you can get the money. And I think it's dependent on which level you're on. You're watching maybe four or five different gauges, like it's income, it's current cash on hand, it's the, I think it's probably the general happiness of the people that are working there, and it's the amount of people that are being cured, something along those lines. And with that, there's not much of a story here. It's not about plot. It's not about characters. It's all about gameplay. And you are simply the mastermind behind constructing this hospital, tending to your patients, and making money while doing so.
And this is a little interesting bit here. I don't know how relevant this is because we played the PC version, but it did come out on PlayStation, and it had a different software company develop it, which I thought that was kind of unique in that it wasn't, I guess it wasn't just a simple port. It was more of like a, probably not all too different game than what the PC version is, but I'm kind of curious as how that one played out on a controller, you know?
Oh, I think it's probably a terrible, terrible, terrible sure. idea.
These kinds of games never work as well with a controller.
No, at all. I cringe every time. Yeah, I shudder anytime a game like this tries to make that jump because I feel like that's always a mistake.
So do you know how Kara got into this game back in the day? Because like, I actually don't know if I've heard of theme games. So I know Roller Coaster Tycoon, but I've never heard of Theme Park. The only reason I know about this game is because of y'all.
Yeah, there's a whole theme collection, and I don't recall off the top of my head what they all are, but we are big on the, like, so I played this game some as a kid. I got it for PlayStation, so, you know, that's the only one I had played it on. Kara, on the other hand, she grew up watching her brother play it on the computer, and so that's, again, a lot of the reason why Kara and I can sit down and play games together, and she kind of supports this, and she plays games all the way too, is because of her older brother. He was a gamer when he was younger, and so that kind of connection between the two of them was her sitting and watching and encouraging his gameplay. So,
nice.
Yeah, so it really helped me out in the long run. So thank you, Chad. This episode is dedicated to you. But yeah, so that's how she played it. Mine was just a rental for the PlayStation back in the day. But as you can imagine, and as we've already discussed, playing it on a PlayStation is going to be a very different experience than playing it on PC, even though I think that the games themselves are very comparable.
Yeah,
I would assume the big difference is just interface kinds of things. But that's a massive difference when you're talking games in the genre. I do think it's worth pointing out, just because the things we've talked about so much, this being kind of a strategy business simulation that is hospital-based, it makes it sound like this game is really, really serious business. You know what I mean? Like,
thank you for bringing this up.
Yeah, like it's heavy and intense and whatever. And that is not what this game is at all.
This is not the television show ER.
No.
We've got very little drama
this
here.
This is Scrubs. What? Get out of my head.
Y'all nailed it together. Like, there's so much levity and humor and this game, and not just this game, but the entire theme series, like Theme Hospital, Theme Park, all of those have this kind of dark,
sort of irreverent, kind of tongue in cheek, right word thing going on. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And it surprised me because, like Kenny said, I was kind of expecting it to at least be kid friendly, but it's almost not. Like the opening intro, the little cutscene that plays,
it's so funny.
It's a little misogynistic, and
I loved it.
It's got some dark humor. Like, I don't know. I was shocked. Well, and
when he pulls out the chainsaw, like he's about to use for surgery.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think a lot of the humor would be lost on the younger generation, at least back then. Like, younger kids now are dirtier than any of us. But and back then, I mean, the kids are always kids, right? But I go back and watch some of the movies that I watched as a kid today, and I'm like, oh my goodness, yeah. Like Sandlot, like there's some ridiculous stuff in there, you know, and even Grease, right? But you just miss a lot of that as a kid. Sure. And with Theme Hospital, I think you're going to get some of the humor, but in my case, you're not going to respect or maybe even chuckle at some of the humor until you're a little bit older. And then you might, you know, respect or enjoy or at least understand and get some of this dark humor that's employed here in Theme Hospital.
Gameplay.
So to get you started in this game, it introduces the way that you're going to be progressing pretty plainly, I thought. So when you start a new game, it shows a board game representation of the levels. So you start out at level one. Obviously, it's going to be an intro tutorial. And as you beat the levels, your little doctor will move on this board closer and closer to the center, and they get harder as you go. And I thought that was fun. But then when you enter the first level, I was really impressed with how they set up the tutorial. So you have an empty slate. It's not a top-down view, but it's a, what is that, isometric view of an empty hospital. And it's like, okay, start with a reception desk. Like, it starts that simple.
Like, your outer walls are already constructed, the outside.
Yeah.
And then you've got your front entrance doors. And another thing that I really respect about this tutorial is that it gives you your first steps, and there's some reading to do right at the beginning, but then it doesn't hold your hand by any means. Like, maybe to the point where you're lost, because although it explains how you do the first few things, it doesn't explain what each of the icons down at the bottom are. It doesn't explain how to use your speed menu at the top. It doesn't explain some of these other things that it's just going to take playing the game to understand and make sense of. But as soon as you build your receptionist, as soon as you build your, what is it? Your receptionist desk. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You've got to staff it. Obviously a desk is not going to take care of itself. So you open up this menu and you've got an option of like 6 to 8 receptionists to choose from. And they all are cost a different amount, and they all have a different like level of intelligence or efficiency and that's also related directly to how much they cost. And so you pick the one that you want. They also have a kind of humorous description down at the bottom that doesn't matter. But you pick your receptionist. You put her down, and then she immediately walks to the desk, and then you begin building your rooms.
Right. So the first major one that the little... So you do have this chick that keeps popping up in the bottom right, similar to Clippy from Microsoft Word. Do you guys remember Clippy?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, but everybody hated
Clippy.
It's a great
way of describing her.
Right. Unlike Clippy, this doctor is helpful. So she will pop up and be like, all right, GP office. So you have to build your first office, which is really cool because it's a click and drag format in the way that you construct your rooms within the walls that are already there. So you don't just like click in the menu and go to GP office and then you place a room. You click and drag it to however big or small you want the room. And it does depend, but it doesn't hold your hand. It's just like, go ahead. And so when you build that room, you have to hire a doctor for it. And, I didn't know those descriptions didn't matter because some of the people are really scummy. That's where their humor comes into play. Like,
oh yeah. Like, some of them are scummy, but then some of the descriptions are just absolutely ridiculous and it doesn't even apply to like the workplace. And it's just, yeah, I don't think that they do. I think it's simply based on how much they cost and how proficient or intelligent they are.
Yeah. Well, some of them even had like nods to their other games. One of the nurses that was in mine was like, plays theme park a lot.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, cross-branding was evident.
So you've got your diagnosis rooms, and as you progress stage to stage, you get more and more kinds or types of diagnosis rooms. But at first, I think you've just got kind of your GP, general practitioner. Mm-hmm. You've got your just a standard diagnostic room, I think, and you've got a few there. And then you've got your second broad category is your treatment rooms. And those treatment rooms end up curing many different kinds of diseases. Your third main category are your clinics, and those are very specified. They treat one specific disease. So you might have a clinic, and we'll get into the sicknesses and illnesses here in just a second, but so I don't want to jump ahead. But they treat like specific serious diseases. And then you've got your fourth main category is facilities, and you've got a few different things in there, including like your restrooms. You've got your training rooms. You've got your different facilities like that. And then you've got kind of access to a few different things that you can just put around your building, like benches and drink machines and radiators and fire exhaust. That's not what they're called.
Fire extinguishers.
Oh, fire
extinguishers. Hydrants.
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 And a few items like that. Plants as well that all actually are important and come into play.
Which I love how those do come into play because you can't just build whatever you want and be like super efficient and build like 4x4 rooms or something like that. You've got to make sure that your staff is happy, like a person would be at their normal job, which adds an extra layer of depth there that I really appreciate.
Absolutely. And that's affected by your facilities, by how much space you give them, by how many amenities you put in.
How many windows in the offices.
Right. And so all the little details really end up piling up over time, at least, to really affecting your gameplay.
Sure. And your doctors and the people you employ, they need to take rests as well. So there's a break room as well with couches and a TV. I mean, you could end up putting a pool table in there and video games later on that can help rest them and so that they can get back to their job. So you do have different broad categories of people that you can employ as well. So you've got doctors, you've got nurses, you've got handymen, which take care of your cleaning up facilities, like throw up and trash, as well as taking care of your plants.
Yeah,
and
watering your plants. It's a big one.
And yeah, and some of your machines. And then you've got your receptionists. Want to talk about some of the illnesses and sicknesses that come in, because it's not just...
Yeah, I've been waiting because it's so funny.
Like something as simple as fractured bones to something a lot more ridiculous.
Like floaty head?
Floaty head's one of my favorite.
What? So they didn't put I think on purpose, just to, again, add to tone, but to also not make this game heavy or feel serious. Mm-hmm. They didn't put many, at least, real ailments in there at all. So they're all these ridiculous, over-the-top, pretty much humorous things. And early on, you have people walk in with a giant head, and you've got to diagnose it. And you have people walk in that you can't see, and you have to diagnose their invisibility.
Sure.
And it just gets even more ridiculous from there. From hair all over the body to, I think,
Harry Titus, I think.
No.
Harry Titus. I think it's something that.
And then is it there's one that's alien DNA, and one that forces you to be an Elvis impersonator, basically, and
that's
all kinds
so
of just
good.
Ridiculous things.
That's
one
so
of my favorites.
Good.
Is third degree sideburns. So ridiculous. But okay, so to cure invisibility, I think you can just go into a regular treatment room. But to cure, for example, bloaty heads, I think you've got to have a specific clinic, the inflation room. Yeah. Diagnosis doctors end up sending the bloaty head patients to, if they can correctly identify it, like it's hard to identify.
Which is funny,
right?
'Cause, yeah, it's so obvious.
Someone walks in invisible, you're I wonder what sickness you have. No, but for bloaty head, they go into this inflation room, and again with the dark humor, the doctor takes a needle, pops the head until it's completely flaccid. I don't like that word. And then takes an air pump, sticks it into the guy's neck or the girl's neck, and blows their head back up to normal size.
Again, really unexpected stuff going on when I was playing this game. And I love that you can see all this happening. Like, this hospital's just functioning, and you can go look in different rooms at any given time and see what's going on. I feel like it could be easy for them to just, I don't know, not have an animation for some of that stuff. And that would have been the easy way out, but no, they went there and stayed ridiculous. Another mechanic in the game that I found pretty interesting was so you have, we've mentioned this briefly, I think, or maybe we haven't, but you have to maintain a certain reputation level in your hospital.
Right.
You can't just, I don't know, make money or spend all your money and make your hospital look really cool, although that's part of it. You've got to make sure your staff's happy. You have to be curing patients. They can't just be dying. So that for me just reinforced and proved again that I'm bad. This is the genre that I'm bad at. Because I get stressed out. I took way too much time trying to make my hospital look nice. That's I don't know, the Minecraft player in me.
Yeah, I fell into the same trap.
Yeah.
I feel like with Sims, you don't have to worry about stuff. Even you're playing some Stardew Valley right now. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do something in a day.
At
you
all.
Know? You can do whatever you want and take your time, and it's relaxing and peaceful. This is not a peaceful game.
No, lives are on the line in this game.
But it's also intense. And if you let one thing slip, one thing quickly turns to two things, turns to five, 10, and then you're over your head and it's hard to correct. Especially late game, because I don't know, you guys probably didn't get there, but you can end up starting to have natural disasters, earthquakes and
what?
Yeah, and no. there's times, there's epidemics where people, like a whole crew of people come in with all of the same illness, and you have to, within a certain amount of time, another clot comes up, and within a certain amount of time, you have to cure them all, or they die, or if they get out of the hospital, then they affect so many people. And it can even happen to where not only do you get a fine, but like an official comes in and sends every single person in the hospital, I think staff included, home. And so your entire hospital has to clear out until like for a few days before you can bring everybody back. It's crazy.
Well, that's the thing. Like watching, you did a first play this week. Actually, your wife did a first play and you kind of
commented over.
I tried to ask her questions like, during.
Right. So the chaos going on, the multitasking, I struggle with. And Kara just starts clicking so fast. She's so familiar with the game and it cracked me up. And you were like, explain what you're doing. And she can't.
And what's funny is that that was her first time playing in like a year. Like she hasn't played in a long time. And so she played a lot more this week after that. That was literally our first time, you know, sitting back down with the game. And so we recorded that. So it's kind of a first play in that regard. But then she played a lot more this week and got a lot. But like she flies around the map. I don't even know what she's doing. So much micromanaging going on. It's super impressive to watch.
It's very impressive.
In fact, we Kara and I watched a video of a guy beating the final stage. So we went on YouTube, found a guy, and he explained kind of his thought process as he went through. Super interesting. How long do you think that video was? Before you answer and go to way too low or way too high, I'll just tell you. 2 hours. It was 2 hours of grinding, of meticulous decisions, of micromanaging. And just intense. And it was super intriguing to watch. But it's not something, I agree with you, Nolan, that I would ever be able to do effectively.
No, I couldn't make it that far. I was so firmly in Nolan's camp on this game that like you're playing the tutorial level and you finally are getting things set up nice, but you're not quite satisfied with everything. And the game is like a letter comes in the mail and they're like, hey, do you want to go manage a new hospital? And I'm like, no, things are going fine. This hospital's working great.
Wait, that's how you advance stages. You didn't.
I know. And eventually it comes back and asks you again. But at least the first time I was like, nah, I'm not done with this. I got to place more benches and figure out where all these plants have to be in to be perfect. And I want to see what I've made so far, like thrive and be successful.
You know what? Because it was stressful. Kind of cool. I don't know if other games do that. Like, I feel like in other games like this, when you reach a certain threshold, it takes you to the next stage. That's super interesting that this game gives you the option. You can stay at your hospital. There's no necessary need to because you beat that stage, but you're more than welcome to stay there and just continue having like a smoothly run hospital if you would like.
Yeah, I don't know how long that lasts, but maybe indefinitely. You might be able to literally just make profit and watch it do its thing. Though that would get really boring really fast.
Sure, because not until the later stages. Like with each new stage, you get new rooms, it unlocks new illnesses, like all of these new things happen with each stage. So yeah, if you just play the intro tutorial stage indefinitely, I think you will grow tired of it eventually.
Aged.
So I think there are a few things that more modern games in this same kind of, in this similar kind of genre have fixed. And so some of the things that you might notice when coming back to Theme Hospital, like I even asked Kara, I think in the first play, if you can zoom out and see more of your hospital grounds. And
yeah, that would have been so nice.
Yeah, the answer is no. You can't zoom in or out at all. You're kind of in this fixed perspective, which means that you have to move your mouse to the side of the screen to move in that direction to see what's going on over there, which later on makes it increasingly difficult because I don't know if you guys got this far, but there are later stages where all of your hospital is not in just one building, but you have to purchase other buildings, up to like 5 or 6 other buildings. And so to get all the way over there, you can't just click, there's no mini map and you can't zoom out. You just have to kind of move your mouse in that direction and wait till the screen scrolls over there. So I think you're going to feel that playing this game today.
For sure. And I think a mini map would have been excellent where you could just click on it on a certain spot and you're your screen would automatically go there. Like, even if there was no zoom feature, that alone would have been huge. But I felt it a lot, and I wasn't even on the later stages. I was on the second and third stages, and I was like dragging my mouse up, not being able to cope with all of it. So I'm, again, very impressed that Kara can do that, because like, it doesn't compute with me all games like this. Another thing that for me, though, that stood out as far as the age goes, and it's neither positive or negative, but I didn't have experience with this game before, but it gave me a sense of nostalgia, which doesn't really make sense by definition, but like, it feels so 90s and so like PC gaming that it does it better for a lot of games, or than a lot of games for me. And even though I had no previous experience, the aesthetic of the game, the graphics, the humor, the menuing of it felt nostalgic in a good way for me.
I could see it.
Like, it's hard for me to explain or compare to other PC games, because I didn't do a ton of PC gaming back then or in the early 2000s either. But like, I don't know, it made me feel that decade a lot.
Yeah, I think I can actually follow along with you, because while, again, I played this game on the PlayStation, it's these kinds of games that started my PC gaming. And for those of you that have listened to this podcast for any amount of time, I think you might know that all three of us prefer the PC over
100%
console.
Oh, absolutely.
And we love console too, but PC gaming is where it's at for us. And what I first was playing, and I've got fond memories of, are these kind of simulation type games on the PC. I was never, even from an early age, I was more like, let me race against the computer. I don't want to battle other people. And so was Sim Farm. It was Sim City. It was these kinds of games. It was Roller Coaster Tycoon. It was those kinds of games where I could create something with a mouse and a keyboard. And well, even with just a mouse, we didn't even say it. There are a few hotkeys, but really you're just using your mouse in this game.
Yeah, for the most part, you're just clicking. Yeah.
Oh yeah, big time. But it was these kinds of games that started my love for PC gaming. And so I can completely see what you're saying with the nostalgia vibe there. And I think the humor goes into that as well. And maybe even the art style. Speaking of, I think the art style is great.
Fantastic.
I mean, it's detailed enough for what, you know, what we're looking at and what we're working with. Again, you're not trying to zoom in and see all the, we were just talking about briefly before this, like Karen and I just started a few minutes before we started recording this podcast, Cities Skylines for the first time. I know we're late to the game. I downloaded it back in the day, but we never played it. The detail when you zoom in is ridiculous, but again, that's a modern game. For here, I think the art is great and goes along with the humor style that we're getting in theme.
Yeah, it fits the theme.
But like, it also is.
Wait, hold on. Did you just want to do that?
That's always
for the name of the game? Is that what you're going with?
Oh no! Here's the deal.
He came in really hard with that and had nothing else.
The thing about puns is sometimes they happen.
Yeah, too
Go
often
ahead,
with
Nolan.
You. On the graphics, though. You mentioned Stardew Valley. We've talked about a couple of other games, but like, okay, so modern indie gaming, right? This game is so, I would not at all be surprised if you told me this game is a brand new indie game that came out in 2018. And the menu, like the menuing, the color scheme that they used in that, it's so easy to read. It has excellent pixel art, and it just, It's this weird line of like being so nostalgic yet so modern to me, and it makes the game easy to play. Now, I will say that it is hard, but again, in a good way. Like, I'm not great at this genre, but it brought me back to a time where gaming was not so cookie cutter and I'm going to hold your hand and here's a reward and here is a DLC and here's a little reward for beating something. It was like, this game is a challenging game that you can play by yourself offline and get so much enjoyment out of. So I don't know if to attribute that to like how they ramped up the difficulty or if it's like a complete package kind of thing, but I'm very, very impressed by how easy it is to get into this game.
Yeah, I would mostly agree. I think visually I could easily see it being a modern game trying to go for a retro feel. Like I could see the shout out there to, I don't know, just to the quality of the timelessness, I guess, of the kind of cartoony graphics and how well they did with that. I don't agree as much that like the user interface feels real modern.
I'd probably say the same. Kenny.
That's where I struggled. That's where I felt the age of this game was in. And I know lots of the nature of these kinds of games mean you're going to just be doing lots of menuing. I'm not opposed to it. And I know learning to navigate those, sometimes there's nothing to do but go through the process. You know, I know early on in, again, just pulling out of kind of my wheelhouse, in a Civilization game where they've just reworked how you do it, it takes me a little while to figure out where all the information is and how to interact with it. But it was just a little dated, I felt like, in how you navigate and knowing what you need to know and how those things react to each other. And so I felt it a little on that front. But on the look and the kind of first level of jumping into it, I totally get where you're coming from.
Someone asked me about the music.
Nah.
At the end of each and every... No. yeah, so what did you think? I mean, there are a few different tracks here and there. Sometimes it goes silent for a little bit and you're just hearing some of the kind of the little sound effects of patients being healed or, I mean, all sorts of sound effects. Yeah, people like getting sick.
voiceovers of the intercom, like calling doctors nice different places. Yes. That was real classic.
Kara does a lot of those impersonations. I think you can get a few of them in the first play. But speaking of music guy, what did you think?
Slaps. So good. Like, I really enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting much, but it's funky at times. It's more chill at times, and there's some variety there. It's not, you know, it's not a full OST really, but that layered with those sound effects made for a really like sonically pleasing game to kind of zone out in and just get into like the whole goal of grinding out your hospital, and it wasn't too distracting. Like, yeah, I thought that it was really good. And I know I love all music. You can make fun of me for that, but I stand by it.
No, I think it works. You said that you said a comment that I would agree with in just the sense that it's not overbearing. It's pleasant. It's with these kinds of games where you're spending an inordinate amount of time on a particular stage, you want a little bit of variety, but you don't, but the soundtrack is not, you just want it to kind of be there and mm-hmm. To kind of fill in the gaps, not to be overbearing or not to be this beautiful piece. And I think it fits that mold well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was going to point out is just that I don't remember noticing the music at all. But I think that means that they did it correctly for what it needs to be in a game like this. If it draws attention to itself or distracts beyond just sort of setting atmosphere, and I'm not saying they didn't do it well, I'm just saying they did a great job of keeping it subtle. And like, I noticed the sound effects, but in ways that complemented the game. And the music just sort of laid in the back and did atmosphere. And that's exactly what music is supposed to do for the most part. So it's a good thing.
Final thoughts.
So do you give this game your vote for New Game Plus status? At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not this game gets our vote, receives New Game Plus seal of approval. It requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or another. Kenny, let's begin with you.
Oh, well, I hate that I had to go first here. Just because I'm in that boat that you will occasionally talk about and that we'll occasionally find ourselves talking about. And that is going into this episode still being a little bit torn. There were some really fun things about this game. There's really great things about how it looks. I tend to be more in Nolan's camp of, at least for this game specifically, not really personally liking the genre. And so I don't know if this game is for everybody. And it certainly didn't do things perfectly. Like, it's not like a must play game. But here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that the humor impressed me enough and that I had moments where I did immerse well enough that this is a good game. It's not a great game, but it's going to barely get my New Game Plus seal of approval. I don't know if I've ever been this hesitant, though.
Be honest with yourself. That's what you feel?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to be honest here. I'll never play this game again. I've never played it before. I had never heard of the series. I mean, I heard about it through Dustin because Kara is obsessed with it. But that's it. Like, if it wasn't for that, I would not know about this. One, because it's not my genre. And two, I don't think it was that huge, at least not as big as like Roller Coaster Tycoon was. That said, I am so impressed by this game and everything it had to offer. It was hard, but in a way that was fair. Like, I would be silly to complain about the difficulty because that's what this game is. It's micromanaging, and it's, I mean, you can get better as you play more, as you lose and then play again, and you just get better over time. Visually, it was great. I thought they ramped up they introduced the gameplay in a really simple yet effective way. And I would recommend it, and I give it New Game Plus.
And I would as well. I think everything has been said that needs to be said. This game will click for some people and they will lose hours into it. This game will not necessarily click for others, though I think we can all realize the beauty is maybe too weird of a word there, but there's so many components in this game and so many of them are right and fit together well and speak towards this time, these mid to late 90s, and just does a favor for this genre while not taking itself too seriously. It's a lot of fun. I think everyone would be doing themselves a favor to play this game and to know about this game. So I too give it my vote for New Game Plus status, meaning Theme Hospital is New Game Plus certified.
And Kara won't kill you in your sleep.
Yeah, she was halfway in the car to come all the way over to Austin to kill Kenny tonight, but thankfully he converted there.
She
at the
can
end.
Turn around.
Wait, if it's going to get her to come visit us, then no New Game Plus for me. I'll get murdered.
Joel wrote
in
and he said, "I loved this game. Got it when it came out. Also played Life and Death a lot. I was really wanting to be a doctor as a kid. Better or worse, did not turn out that way. I could never make much progress in it since I found it to be very difficult. So I always had to sit back and watch my older siblings play it instead. It's amazing that a game about hospitals could actually be so much fun."
Yeah, it kind of seems like a dull topic at first, huh? Like, Zoo Tycoon sounds way cooler than Hospital.
Oh, yeah, theme Roller hospital. Coaster, all of those things. But Hospital?
Yeah.
Like, that does not sound like an intriguing game.
But they kept the realism with that, and it still wasn't boring. So that's interesting. Like, you got to make money. Your staff has to be happy. That's, on paper, that's a terrible video game.
Hey, Joel spoke to the difficulty. One question for you guys, and I think you'll know what I mean by this. Would you say that this game is, like, old game difficult, or would you put it in a slightly different category?
Here's the nice thing. This game does give you difficulty settings that,
that's true,
as I toyed around with it, do make a difference. And so there is a default like medium mode, and there is an easier mode and a harder mode. A lot of that relates to how, you know, how many resources you have to start and a number of other things.
Yes or no.
But I still think it is kind of old game hard, because it ramps well and there's just no stopping it. It's a train. It just gets moving and it doesn't stop.
Speaking of, Sim Train is a no. Thank you, Joel, for writing in. And then we had an email from a girl named Kara.
Of course.
I love it.
Which is good, because I think she's written in maybe twice, maybe once before, I don't know. But this is one of the first emails we've gotten from my wife, and it says, I've been waiting for this week since the beginning of New Game Plus. I love Theme Hospital. It is quirky, challenging, and full of nostalgia for me. As a child, I spent hours watching my older brother play this ridiculous game. Every few years, I pick this game back up from where I rage quit the time before. The epidemics and earthquakes make the later stages of the game extremely difficult. Yeah, however, as of this evening, I have beaten Theme Hospital.
Did she?
That's a big moment.
She did, guys.
That's so impressive. Like, seriously.
She did something that none of us can currently do. And if given or the ever. Time, I don't know if we could.
I couldn't. Wow. I don't have it in me.
That's a big deal.
Oh, no. She said, if it does not receive NGP's seal of approval, I will never forgive you.
I knew that, but that's not why. I genuinely think it deserves New Game Plus. It's not because I'm scared of Kara, but I didn't know that I would have to answer about that forever.
Well, GG, she still loves us, and we can all play this game together and be happy. Thank you for sending in your thoughts, Joel and Kara. For anyone else, feel free to send in your thoughts on the Retro Game of the Week each and every week to ngppodcast@gmail.com. And it is that time of the week where we set the game aside and we randomly select our next Retro Game of the Week out of our grand Retro Master list. Added a lot of games this week, both from Discord and email. People sent in their games. Only stipulation is that the game has got to be 15 years old or older, and we'll add it to the list. Then it will be put into the randomizer.
I'm feeling good about this week's game.
I'm not.
I don't even know what it's going to be yet, but I got a good feeling.
I got a feeling.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Up on that one.
I almost took the bait.
We are going to be playing a 1993 side-scrolling platformer developed and published by a little company called Konami.
Nice.
It's for the Sega Genesis.
Nice. Nicer.
And the game features a possum knight who fights an army of robots and pigs. We are going to be playing Rocket Knight Adventures.
What? That escalated out of
so quickly.
That went really weird, really fast.
Yeah. Okay. We're gonna be playing an opossum.
Okay.
In this week's
what's it called?
Retro video game. Rocket Knight Adventures Rocket for the Knight Genesis. Adventures.
Never heard of it. Genesis, though. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get hyped about Genesis titles usually.
Well, looking forward to it. Find a copy of Rocket Knight Adventures and play along with us this week.
Hey, join us in Discord. We had like 3 new people hit us up this week, which is super cool. We would love to have you join us. You can get invited to our Discord if you go to Twitter/NGP podcast and click on the Discord link.
Big thanks to all of our patrons who support this episode, not just this episode, all of our episodes on an ongoing basis. We appreciate you guys, especially our producer level supporters, Bradley, Zion, and Gimbarino. And special shout out to a number of new patrons.
Yeah, dude. I think it was last episode where I made the whiny comment that we haven't had a new patron
it's
for a
true.
While.
You threw down a wide net of guilt shame on all of our listeners, and it paid off.
And I never want to do that legitimately, but I'll do it in jest all the time. And especially if it brings profit.
Yeah.
Mike, Philip, and Ashton. Ashton, I missed you, man. Welcome back.
Welcome,
joined
everyone.
Us in support. Yeah, in support on our patrons or on Patreon. So make sure to join us on Patreon, patreon.com/NGP podcast for additional extra bonus and early content on a regular basis.
And if you don't, you'll get bloaty head.
You can also find us on our social media, Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast, our YouTube channel where regular video content is uploaded there. Maybe we'll do a first play this week. One of you guys? Yeah, cool.
Sure.
Listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other podcast provider of your choice. Want to give a special shout out to our producer, Tom Tate. Thank you for producing this episode. Join us next week as we play Rocket Knight Adventures. Until then, I'm still Dustin, and I've got Harry Titus.
I'm still Kenny. And I'm actually working as the receptionist, so.
I'm Nolan, and I forgot to mention this game did emojis first.
Oh, and what do you have, or who are you? You're someone at the hospital.
Oh, I've got herpes.
He's the radiator.
And this has been New Game Plus.